Blog Talk Radio.
Mindful at every step that we belong to you. And we pray this
In the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. Alrighty. Well, let's bring on Pastor Leroy. See how he's doing this fine evening. How you doing, Pastor Leroy?
Good evening, Pastor Ken. I'm doing fine for a Monday evening here. I got to tell you, man, it was an incredible day here today, here in the Bronx, man. We had temperatures today for the first time since 1941. We hit 80 degrees today in November, man. Hallelujah. It was like sitting outside in the middle of the summer, man, and it even got humid. Hell, I thought it was September again, man. But guess what happened? Guess what's happened over the last few hours, man? The temperature now has dropped to 46 degrees, man, in a matter of 4 hours, man. Major cold front came through here. Man, now the party is over for us here in the Bronx because, you know, the temperatures this time of year, when we hit 80 degrees here in November, man, that ain't never happened before, man.
Yeah, I know. I think there's got to be a record.
It was incredible. It was. They said on the news, man, earlier tonight, like at 6 o'clock news my time, they said it's the first time that Staten Island, the Bronx, Harlem, we all hit 80 degrees today for the first time ever in the month of November, man. I was like, whoa. I'm sitting on my front porch with my next-door neighbor. That's Billy Johnson, man. He's my next-door neighbor, and I'm sitting on the porch with him. We're hanging out, man. 80 degrees, smoking some cigars. Woo, man, how you feeling, Billy?
I'm feeling good, man.
That's good, man. I'm glad you feel good. Billy, man, it's 80 degrees today, man. What do you think about that?
What's Larry?
Billy, wait a minute, man. Billy, you got some problems, man, but that's okay. Billy's got some shit going on in his head, man. But you know what? Thank you, Pastor Ken, for having the show tonight, man. I'm proud to be your co-host, and you are the man.
Wow, thank you. I'm glad to have you as my co-host, Pastor Lou. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. All righty. Well, guys and girls, I hope you're ready for a good sermon tonight. I put together a great sermon, and it's titled A Miracle in the Making. Okay, this evening we continue our sermon series through the Old Testament Book of Esther. We will spend at least 10 more weeks in this book as we think about the theme of God's perfect work through imperfect people. You see, tonight we begin the series by reading the first chapter in the book of Esther and thinking about the subject, a miracle in the making. So, have you ever asked the question, God, where are you? With the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut, the physical cliff fiasco, the moral decline of our nation, and the national election, and spiritual decay of our society, I find myself asking that question sometimes. Where is God? I know he hasn't abandoned us, and I know he hasn't abdicated his throne, and I know he hasn't forsaken his people. But where is God when our world seems to grow increasingly wicked? Where is God when the spiritual and moral decay seems so prevalent? I'll tell you where he is. He's right where he's always been. He's on his throne, and he is in charge, and he is the Lord of all. God is not confined by our circumstances, though sometimes he may seem concealed in them. Let me say that again. Because this is somewhat of a theme in the book of Esther, God is not confined by our circumstances that sometimes may seem concealed in them. No matter what you may be facing, God is aware, he knows, he sees, and he cares. You see, the book of Esther teaches us this for sure. Did you know that throughout these 10 chapters, God is not mentioned once? Nowhere do you see him referenced or mentioned. Though God is not named in this book, he is present and active. He is not hiding. He was only hidden. The book of Esther is one of the greatest illustrations in the Bible of Romans 8:28. The book of Esther has all the elements of great novel. There is a beautiful young orphan girl who rises from obscurity to become queen. She hides a secret that could bring about her demise. Then there is the ambitious villain whose passion is to destroy the innocent. Finally, the storyline involves a power struggle, romantic love, and startling expos. But in the end, the point of this true story is clear. Once again, the Israelites, God miraculously saves his people from certain destruction. We see God's perfect work through imperfect people. It starts in a strange place. And the place is Persia. Although it began in the heart and mind of God long before that, more specifically, the capital city of Persia, Shushan, was also known as Susa. In those days, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians was the biggest thing around. And the king over the kingdom was larger than life. That king's name was Ahasuerus, also known as Xerxes. He was the son of Doris, who was the son of Cyrus. Maybe you've heard some of those names in the Old Testament before. Xerxes or Ahasuerus was the all-powerful king and the world's largest superpower. He was big time. He was on top of the world. Many Jews had come to dwell in Susa because they were seeking a better life. At this time, other Jews had returned to Jerusalem, seeking to rebuild the temple and restore worship to God's promised land. So, here's how the story of Esther begins. I told you this king was important. He reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. He had a big kingdom. The size of his kingdom, however, was overshadowed by the size of his ego. He was so important and arrogant that he decided to throw a party, an enormous party that lasted 180 days. Now, the king probably didn't assemble all his provincial leaders at one time. That would have kept them away from their duties for 6 months and weakened the empire. It's more likely that over a period of 6 months, Ahasuerus brought the officers to Shushan on a rotating schedule. He wanted everyone to see his beautiful palace and how wonderful he was. So before we move on, I want you to know something very significant. This seems to be an uneventful beginning for Esther. She's a lonely orphan girl far from home living under the rule of an egotistical Persian king. Sounds like the makings of a fairy tale, right? But with God, uneventful beginnings become unbelievable endings. And no matter where you are, God has not forgotten you. And no matter what you think, he has not abandoned you. You may feel all alone. If you're a child, you're not. You may feel like he doesn't care for you. Believe me, he does. You may feel like he's not at work in your life. Believe me, he is. And God can take the most imperfect situation and bring about his perfect work. Just let him start right where you are. It leads to the significant problem. Now, in those days, the men and women hosted separate banquets, and now Queen Vashina was hosting her own banquet. But the king wanted all the brothers to see how beautiful his queen was. He didn't have an iPhone to pull out to show them pictures, so he commanded the queen to come before all those other men and display her beauty. The first part of the verse 10 tells us that the king's heart was merry with wine. What is the king's condition? He is impaired by alcohol. He's drunk. He's allowed a foreign substance to enter his body and impair his thinking. How foolish. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 14 tells us that it is not for kings to drink wine. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 to 25, to take a drink is utter foolishness. Any Christian who asks me if it's all right to drink, I ask them the question, why? The king's command. Because of his impairing condition, he makes a poor decision. He ordered his queen to display her beauty to the assembled guests, but she refused to obey. Her response, of course, was triple offense on her part. Here was a woman challenging the authority of a man, a wife disobeying the orders of her husband, and a subject defying the command of the king. As a result, the king became furious and burned with anger. So as we study the book of Esther, you will discover that this mighty monarch could control everything by himself. His advisors easily influenced him. He made impetus of great decisions that he later regretted. And when he didn't get his own way, he became angry. Susceptible to flattery, he was a master of a mighty empire, but not master of himself. Ahasuerus built a great citadel at Shushan, where he couldn't build his own character. The king could control neither his temper nor his spirit. So as for the anger that King Ahasuerus expressed toward his lovely queen, it was ignorant, childish, and completely uncalled for. Had the king been sober, he would have never asked his wife to display her beauty before his drunken leaders. His pride got the best of him, for he couldn't command his own wife. How could he ever command the Persian armies? Since the city had embarrassed the king before his own leaders, the king had to do something to save both his ego and his reputation. Vashini was right, Ahasuerus was wrong, and his anger was only further proof that he was wrong. His anger was a way of blinding our eyes and defending our hearts to that which is good and noble. So if anybody was a prisoner of pride, it was the exalted king of the Persian Empire. So when I think about the sin of pride, the greatest sin of all, it reminds me of the army colonel who had just been promoted to colonel. He was sitting in his office when someone knocked at the door and said, "This Private Johnson, may I see you, sir?" He said, "Just a minute." The colonel wanted to look impressive, picked up the telephone and said real loud, "Yes, Mr. President, I understand, Mr. President. We'll take care of it right away, Mr. President." He wasn't talking to the president, but he wanted to make it seem like he was talking to the president. He wanted to appear bigger than he really was. The colonel said, "Mr. President, just give me 1 second." Then he said, "Come in, private." The private came in, and the colonel asked him to talk quickly because he had the president on the other line. "What can I do for you?" Well, the private said, "I just came in to connect the telephone. God has a way of making you look like a fool because of pride comes before the fall." So pride, this is a problem for us as well. We don't like to admit it when we're wrong. We don't like to say, "I'm sorry." We don't want to stop and ask for directions. We don't want to read the manual to figure out how to put it together. And we don't want to admit that we need help. So pride is usually the point where it all goes wrong for us. It brings about senseless plan. Because of the king's foolish actions, Vashenu, bold refusal, the king now is in a difficult situation. In other words, what should I do now? Have you ever been in a situation when you made a foolish decision and that foolish decision put you in a spot where you made another foolish decision and now the dominoes begin to drop one by one? It seems like that's where the king is now. You've always seen that the king cannot control his temper, and now he's action temper and anger. Therefore, the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. Can I give you some advice? Don't make important decisions when you're angry. Nothing good ever comes of it. The Persian king had seen counselors advise him matters of state and right to approach his throne, and they also knew how to flatter the king to secure the positions and get from him what they wanted. And what is their advice? They encouraged the king to dispose Queen Vashini, to kick her out, to get rid of her. They knew just how to stroke his ego. So the king goes along with the census plan and announces to the entire kingdom what he has done. Not only did the king act foolishly, then he acted in haste, then he was emboldened by his advisors, and now he reached the point of return. Do he regret his actions? Who knows? Chapter 2 and the verse 1 seems to indicate that he might have, but by that time it was too late. A young new bank president made an appointment to meet with his soon-retired predecessor to seek advice as he took on his new responsibilities. He had one basic question to ask. He wanted to know the older gentleman had become so successful. His predecessor looked at him and said two words, "Good decisions." The young man wanted more detail, pressed further, and asked how one could make good decisions. The predecessor said experience. The young banker continued his line of questioning by asking how one could come to gain experience. The predecessor said, "Bad decision." So in conclusion, I don't normally do this, but I think it would be important to bring up some specific points of advocacy in the sermon. Hopefully these points will drive home the message. You see, God is in control even when life seems out of control. The lowly Jewish orphan was in a strange place. Life was chaotic and confusing, but God was in control. So God is in charge even when we think we are. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Ahasuerus was prideful and vindictive. He thought he was in charge. In fact, God was in charge all along." So God is at work even when we can't see his hand. Believe it or not, God is working out his plan and purpose for all of this. When we can see his mess, God sees a miracle in the making. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this sermon and it brought some powerful information to your life. Amen. What do you think of that sermon there, Pastor Leroy?
I got to tell you, that was a great sermon, man. I understood every single word you said. And I got to tell you, man, it is word for word. I'm with you, brother. You are my brother. And that was fantastic. And I hope the audience enjoyed it and understood it word for word exactly as I did.
Amen, amen, amen. All righty. Well, we're going to get to an altar call, okay? And that is, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can do so right now. All you have to do is say this simple little prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for burying my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen." Well, if you said that prayer, okay, we would like to welcome you into the family of God. We would like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said that prayer, you can let us know by calling in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that great number is 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and you can tell us to do something to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. All righty, well, we got a call up, Pastor Leroy. Let's bring on 111. Oh, boy. Dougie Hopper. Dickie Hopper, actually. Okay. That's Ken's brother. Well, I'm going to play some music here. Okay? Let's play some great music here.
Maker of the Yes, Tom. What's your name? Who are you? Don't even come near my show. Just get out of here. This is Tony Gaga. Welcome to the Tony Show. Welcome to the Tony Show.
When I open my
Let me say this, Pastor Ken. I'm very disappointed and Sparkles, get out of here. I'm very disappointed in the fact that you, Panther 10, said a lot of bad things about me. I'm trying to get my act together. I got a lot of problems right now. But you're just, I've had a little bit of drink. Look at here, Pastor Ken. I know they're trying to take over my show. I know they're trying to take over my show, and it's not going to work. Okay? So just get out of here. Take you and your Tony F, and get the fuck out of here.
Okay, Pastor Leroy. Thanks for pretending to be Uncle Tony. All right, let's bring on 111.
Hey,
111, you're on the air.
Hey, Ken.
How you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to, thanks for bringing on Tony Talk. It's nice to hear from him. He hasn't done a show in so long. Hey, Tony.
You know, I'm not really interested in participating in this anymore. I'm really not. This whole thing's really irritating me because Pastor Ken was my friend. At one time, he was part of my mom's. When my mother died, he gave me, you know, the eulogy for my mother. But let me say this, Pastor Ken. You, Pastor Ken, I don't even want to say. I've had some alcohol tonight. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie and tell you I haven't. Because I have.
Amaretto.
And I'm supposed to do my own show. I'm supposed to do my own show. But I don't want to do it. Because I hate everybody. I hate all your people. You're all a bunch of dickheads, including Pastor Ken.
No. You don't hate me. And I don't really think you hate Ken.
Who is this?
This is Spider-Man.
Don't even do that. It's not even funny. And I really not
shoot,
even funny.
Shooting ropes.
You know what? I have to put up with this shit. I'm going to do my own show. But Pastor Ken, stop stealing my stuff. Stop stealing my show. And get the fuck out of here.
Well, you know what? You know what? Okay, if you're the real Uncle T, okay, when did you do your first blog talk radio show?
Well, I think he's disconnected or something, but I know it was in May of 2018. And his first three shows were about wrestling.
I was talking about the year.
Well, 2018 May. I think he'll call back in. He must have hung up, but he did one about. Oh, there he is.
Let me say this. Okay. When my show started, I had J-Bo doing the early part of my show. Okay, and then he convinced me. He convinced me to do the show after like 3-4 episodes, and I didn't want to do it. I was afraid to do it. But finally, I did it, and I got to thank everything. I'm going to tell you right now, my show, the only reason my show is successful, the only reason it's successful is because of J-Bo. Without J-Bo, my show would suck. He's been the been your part of the show for a long time, yes, for many years, And without him, there'll be no show. So I want to thank him for being a big part of my show. And I'm going to go right now because Mr. Sparkle is just pissing on my couch. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's definitely Tony. He's insane ramblings and screaming at a cat. That's him.
Yeah. Well, let's bring on 111.
Good God.
111, you're on here.
Shalom.
Hey, DZ, how you doing?
Brother, I am not good, brother. My woman left me, and I don't know what to do. I was very mean to her and really didn't have a reason to be mean, and she said that she wanted space and that I needed to work on myself, Kenny. And so I'm calling in tonight with the rare serious DC2 call. I don't really know what to do, my friend. I'm drowning my sorrows in alcohol right now. And I know that's not good, but I don't really know what else to do, my brother. The pain is too much. DC3 is lonely, and that's why I was calling, brother. Can you give me a helping hand on this wonderful evening?
Yes, I can, my brother. And what you need to do, you need to get some quiet time, okay, and
Amen.
Talk to God, you know, and ask God, okay, to help you through this situation, okay?
Kenny, I just wanted to come back, brother. She my best friend, Kenny. She like your show, Kenny. We used to listen to your show together, and when I would call in, and we have all these great memories, man. I'm just heartbroken, brother. I wanted to call in and you know, not feel so alone, brother.
Amen.
I hear you, my brother. Well, you're always welcome here. You're always welcome here on the Block Talk Radio Show with me. It's
Thank
a pleasure
you,
to have you on the air, okay? I'm sorry you're going through these tough times, okay? But God will
Thank
see you
man.
Through it. Yeah, he
Amen,
will see
Amen,
you through
brother.
It.
I need to lean on the Lord, brother. Is Mr. Tony still on the line because I have a bone to pick with him?
Tony, talk.
No, Pastor Lima hung up, and he was pretending to be Tony, okay?
No.
Yeah.
Man, I must
That's
be
Tony.
Drunk as hell. I thought that was Tony.
It is.
That is Tony, Kenny.
Pastor Lima hung up, and Tony stopped.
Damn, I guess 12 bottles of Colt 45 is more than I thought. I'm sorry, Kenny. I thought that was Mr. Tony. Do you have any other callers, brother?
Okay. I do have other callers, but they have not pressed the one key as of yet. Okay. So until they do, I can't bring them on.
Yeah.
All right.
Pick them up.
How is my friend Johnny doing? Is he doing well? I know he's actually been able to marry and keep his wife. I've failed repeatedly. So I look up to him. He's kind of my hero in that way.
No, look to me for advice.
Are you good, brother?
Don't look at me for advice.
Oh no, I you don't have to give me any advice. I just want to see how you was doing personally, brother. Just are you doing well?
I'm personally okay. We got a big election day coming up. Got to remember to go out and vote against everybody that Tony Farrar is voting for to cancel out those votes.
Amen. Amen.
Got to get rid of all the Beto O'Rourke's and
Kenny. Is that dude Dan Garza actually ever going to call in, or is he just going to talk trash in that room?
He's just going to talk trash. That's all he can do.
I would love to hear him. You confront him live on the platform if he would call in, but I don't think that he will. So,
Well, we got a caller from 111. Maybe it might be him. Let me bring him on and see if it is. Okay.
He's not smart enough.
111, you're in here.
Shut the fuck up. Do you recognize this hair voice?
No, I do not recognize that hair voice, because if you were the real Dan Gordon, you'd sound like a little girl.
No, my friend, this is real Dan Garza. All these years
I've
been
right.
Shooting whiskey. And smoking cigars have changed my voice like this. Real man. Unlike you, you fucking daffodil little motherfucker.
We don't cuss on this radio program. And if you continue, I will cut you off.
Bitch like you. I ain't found a goddamn bitch.
Don't say bitch. Mr. Daniel Garza, is that you, sir?
This is Dan Garza. I once met Kenny in a tattoo parlor, and I had myself a high voice. I was very timid, and then this guy took advantage of me. He dicked me down. He dicked me down real fucking good. I give him that. But now... I'm a real man, and I'm here to get that revenge fucking I've been needing for years. Ain't that right, Kenny boy?
I don't know, but all I know is that, okay, you were good at the time, and you met what I wanted, okay? And anyway, we didn't meet in the tattoo shop, Dan. Okay, we met online. Okay.
He said he hung out with you at one, though, is what he said.
We started.
Shut up, you fuck. Did you lose your damn helmet, boy? I'm trying to talk, and you over here jibber-jabbering away.
I feel like this is a love connection, Kenny. This is a love connection. You guys are actually giving each other compliments. Much better than my situation, anyway. Amen.
He's a real southern gentleman.
I got some good advice for you there, black boy.
Whoa. Hey, man, come on. I've been drinking tonight. I don't want to do this live on the air. Come on, brother. Just be nice to me. I didn't do nothing to you.
All you got to do here, my friend, take my advice. My word is as good as the word of God. You need to get this woman. You need to dick her down. Dan Garza style.
I think that's the one area I don't need help, brother. I'm fine with everything I do, brother. But I appreciate, wait a minute. What is Dan Garza style? Is that like anal sex? Because I can't fit my penis in her butt. It's too big.
We don't do
that, sir. Is that what Dan Garza style is, though? Because, I mean, that's what Kenny did to you, right? Wait a minute. I'm confused. If Kenny boned you, then what? How is that Dan Garza style? That's just bending over, brother.
I know. It's Ken's business style.
Oh, the pastor style.
Well, Ken,
yeah,
I've been doing a lot of working out here, after Kenny. All these years here. And now I'll rip your dick off with my asshole. No problem. You bring that dead little baby dick over here, I'll rip it off with my asshole. My asshole got them teeth. I put chewing tobacco in my asshole. Spit it out.
Man, this man has been to Diamond C Stables. I can tell that he's been to Diamond C Stables. He a Texan? Is this dude a Texan? He been to Diamond C Stables. Kenny, did you guys make love at Diamond C Stables?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, look here, man. Well, okay. Am I back on the air? Wait a minute. What's going on, man?
You're on the air, Pastor Leroy.
Okay, man. It's just Pastor Leroy Jackson, man,
from the Bronx, man. Amen.
Somebody hacked my account. Hold on a second, man. Don't be blaming me for nothing, man. I'm understanding.
I told him it was Tony. He wore chips in the
room. Somebody hacked my phone, man. Somebody from Boston, Massachusetts, and I don't live anywhere near there, man. He hacked my phone, man, and called me on your show.
Kenneth, I told you that was Tony. I know that man. I know that voice, Kenny.
I don't know how he would hack Leroy's phone.
He hacked my phone. I don't know, man. I'm just talking, and all of a sudden, it's like dead air, man. And then I'm listening to the show for the last 15 minutes. I'm like, wait a minute, man. That ain't me. What is this, man?
Don't you worry about that there, Pastor Leroy. I don't believe that was Tony Gerger himself. I believe that Pastor Ken was in cahoots with that there fat fucking wop.
No!
Lord have mercy.
Damn,
he set you up, boy. He set you up there, Leroy. That's what he did there, that Ken. Always lying. Always lying to his fucked up crooked teeth.
We need Pastor
I heard something about that. The problem I got is I don't like anybody tapping into my shit, man, because this is my home. And somebody from Boston, Massachusetts, with the last name starting with G, I can't get much more information than that right now, but tapped into my phone, man, for the last 25 minutes. That's why I haven't been on here. What do you think? You think I'm going to be acting like somebody else, man? How am I going to act like that? How am I going to talk like that?
Okay. I don't know how you did it, man.
That's crazy.
I don't know how you did it.
On the air there, Kenny. You let him do it so you can blame that there Pastor Leroy. Tony Gaga is your boyfriend. We all know he's your boyfriend. How come you ain't admitting that he's your boyfriend? You want to get dicked out of
Tony Gaga is not my boyfriend. Nope. It never happened. I think it was your boyfriend.
When are we going to get together so I can dick you down dang Garza style?
Well, first of all, you'd have to have a dick to do that. Okay, and you don't.
I got myself a war hunger.
You've got a 3.5 millimeter.
That's not what Rosemary was saying when she was riding my hog.
Yeah.
3.5 millimeter, about the size of my pinky.
That's not what Rosemary was saying there. That's not what Rosemary was saying.
Dan Garza, you are the man. But I want to tell you something, man. If you want to talk about the size of a man's genitalia, you're talking to the right man. Back in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, man, I used to be known as, I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Alabama Black Snake, man. Wow, man, do I got a sizable penal area that doesn't work as good as it used to, but, man, it still works pretty good with the right material, if you get what I'm saying.
Kenny,
I don't get what you're saying.
Kenny, do you remember that book that I wrote with Higgins? That when we did interviews and stuff, I want to recite something to you, and I would just like to know if this is true for sure, because I interviewed Dan Garza a long time ago, and he said this happened. So Kenny knelt down and unzipped his zipper. It was at that moment that he put Dan's penis in his mouth and proceeded to suck the soul out of him. In that quick second, something changed. He felt different. It wasn't the semen he just swallowed. It was deeper than that.
No.
Well, that is 100% true. I was sitting there.
It was true. You told me it was true.
It's
I wrote
true.
It in my book.
Don't fucking, hey, Kenny, don't fucking lie about putting my big wolf hunger in your mouth. Don't you fucking lie about it.
Oh! Kenny, you a swallower too, brother. Amen.
He swallowed everything I had to give him. And then he tried to kiss me on the mouth, and I headbutt him right between his fucking crooked eyes.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
That's why you wear glasses now, because I headbutt you right between your fucking crooked eyes.
Yeah, he wears glasses,
right.
So that's got to be true.
Amen. Amen.
Then they beat your ass in the Ugandan Air Force. Beat your ass, send you all the way back to America after you try fucking them there orphan boys.
Ugandan.
Nah, I didn't try to... No, he didn't try to fucking you off, Dan.
He's sucking you off. What?
You try to dick them little boys down. Told them you give them candy and shit. All you had was a fucking can of Altoids that you put up your ass anyway.
Oh, wait, all right.
I got another excerpt here, Kenny. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Dan, you need to confirm this, Dan. Dan put his hand on Kenny's back, pushed him down, and Ken removed his underwear. Dan entered him anally. Ken yelped in pain like a dog that had been stepped on. He had never felt pain like this. He had fingers up there before, even a toothbrush once. But his asshole had a new feeling. It felt like he had to poop, and then he did. All over Dan's penis. It didn't matter, though. From that point on, Ken would say his asshole belonged to Dan. Is that true, bro?
Nah, it never happened. Never happened.
That's true. That is 100%
You told me that story, sir.
100%
nah,
true.
Never happened.
That happened.
Nah, never
because
happened.
You took a shit. You took a shit all over my balls, and I made you lick it clean like the fucking fuck dog that you are.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody. God bless you, and have a wonderful, blessed night. And I'll see you next weekend. Okay.
Fucking
goodbye.
No, I need help with my lady. Stop.
Bye.
Right.